Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it. Common sense. In a world of insanity.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as Joe Biden's policies turn into one big disaster, we have to ask ourselves, which is it, Joe? Build back better or completely destroy this country? Now, folks, a full 75%, three-quarters of all Americans are currently saying that this country is going in the wrong direction. No kidding. No kidding. The mystery in all this is not how does 75% of the people think that. The mystery is who the hell are the 25% of the people who think it's just everything's going well? Those are the people I want to talk to, the people who think everything is going well because there's something wrong with you people. Things are not going well, folks. I'm sorry to break it to you, the 25% who thinks it is. Maybe you're sitting on a whole bunch of money in your cushy little ivory tower somewhere saying, let them all eat cake. But I got news, it's coming for you eventually. No matter how much money you have, it's coming for you eventually. You know how I know? I know this because now I'm seeing the billionaires get nervous. Now I'm seeing guys like Jeff Bezos saying, what's going on with this Biden administration? Not getting anything done. Things are backfiring. Things aren't looking good. Oh. So now even the billionaire class is starting to say, wait a minute, this isn't what we signed up for. Because, folks, as much as crap trickles downhill, and I told you that ad infinitum over the course of the last few weeks, sometimes it trickles uphill too. In other words, if you're sitting on a gigantic business, but people can't afford your business anymore, so they just live without your business, guess what? It trickles uphill, and you say, I'm not making the profits I used to make. How come people aren't ordering from my business? How come people aren't buying from me? They can't afford it. They can't afford it. I have a staggering figure for you. Under the Trump administration, they were saying that the average household, and they've averaged it out, obviously. There are some people who have very large commutes to work and some people who can walk to work or work from home. But under the Trump administration, the average amount that the American family was paying for gasoline in a year, and remember, some people have a couple of cars and, you know, the husband and wife both work. The average price was around $1,200 a year in gasoline. It's over $5,000 now. Let that sink in. $5,000 of the average American's income is being used to pump gas into their car, to get to work, to get groceries, to get to doctor's appointments, to get to school, whatever it happens to be. $5,000. By the way, rents went up sky high. Property taxes have went up. So you know what else goes up? The amount of money you need to earn in the United States of America to even be considered poor anymore. By the time you get done paying all of your bills and the things that are absolutely vital for you to exist, how much leftover money do you have to spend on frivolous things? That's what I want to know from everybody. I want to know that from everybody who thinks the economy is doing well. How does an economy do well when you don't have money at the end of the month or the week or every 2 weeks, whatever it is, when you don't have that leftover money to say, oh, here's a little money I can play with. Here's a little money I can go out to eat with. Here's a little money I can go to the movies with. here's a little money I can go buy a new pair of shoes with, or maybe I can just go, you know, buy some things for my hobby, or whatever it happens to be. Everyone's feeling it. So sometimes it trickles back uphill. You know those kids who want those $68 and $75 video games? And the parents used to say, well, you know, okay, ain't buying it. So now you're going to see the video game industry start to say, oh, what the hell's happening here? You should have a lot of people buying these $60 games. Now everybody's waiting until they're down to, you know, used prices. Yeah, because they can't afford them. You know why they can't afford them? Because their parents, if they happen to be of age where they don't have their own job, their parents are pumping $5,000 worth of gas to get to work. And if they do happen to be a kid who's just starting to work and get a little bit of his own money, that kid's got to pump money into his gas tank. So now the kid doesn't have $68 at the end of the month to buy your video game. He's got pocket change. Oh, but thanks for giving him that dollar an hour raise by saying, we're going to raise the minimum wage. That really helped. That helped tremendously. They're so far in the negative that it's not even worth mentioning at this point. It did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So what are they going to do? Well, according to Biden's press secretary, there's nothing we can do. Silly person for asking. Nothing we can do. This is all Vladimir Putin's fault and the greedy oil companies. See, what they're not going to tell you, though, folks, is this. If you want some straight shooting, listen up. I know there's even some Republicans out there who are saying the oil companies are gouging people. They have record profits. No, you see, you're looking at it wrong. If it used to cost me, I'm going to break this down. If it used to cost me, and I sell hot dogs in a hot dog cart, let's say. Let's say my job is I'm one of those hot dog vendors. And it used to cost me 45 cents to give you a hot dog. And I charge you $2. Okay, so I'm making $1.55. Now, it's costing me 70 cents. Not 45. And I got to charge you a dollar, maybe 40, 50 cents more. On the books, it's going to look like if I sell the same amount of hot dogs that my profits have increased. But so has my outgo for them. The dollar's not worth what it used to be. So if you're saying to yourself, well, a dollar's worth 65 cents, then it almost takes double to be even. If a dollar is worth 50 cents, then you need to make $2 to equal the buying power of $1, correct? Well, the dollar is worth about 65 cents of what it used to be. So when you're seeing these oil companies say, and they say, well, they'll look at the profit they're making, devalue that by 65 cents on the dollar, and you'll see that they're making relatively the same amount of money. It's not true. It's a straw man argument made by an administration that is purposely trying to wipe out fossil fuel and oil in this country and blame it on other people. Gas was rising before Putin invaded. Oh, we've given them all the leases they want. We've opened up all that. They won't drill. No, they won't drill because you won't give them the permits. It's like saying you can rent my house and not giving you the keys. I don't understand why people are falling for this. The Biden administration obviously thinks everyone is dumb, and they think, well, all we have to do is find a scapegoat and say, it's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. Who do the Democrats hate the most, I guess? Trump. It's Trump's fault. Next would be Putin. Now we got to blame big business. But guess what? Big business is striking back a little bit. Big business had enough of this. And now you're seeing people like Jeff Bezos come forward and saying this administration it's not working. No kidding. No kidding, it's not working. I predicted $5 gasoline by June. That's what I said on this show, well, months and months ago. $5 gasoline by June. in my area, I know California's already 7 in some places and stuff, but I predicted in my area, which is New York, my state would see $5 a gallon gasoline by June. And I'm off by a couple of weeks because currently in some places in New York City, it's over $5. Up here in upstate New York, we're verging on about $4.89 to $4.92. It's getting there. It'll get there. And I've just read a report that said in some states, actual gas stations are setting their pumps for another digit because they expect over $10 gasoline. $10. Answer me this. If you're a kid working at Burger King and you got to travel 10 miles to get there and 10 miles back, and you got a beater car that gets about 12, 14 miles a gallon, is it worth it to go to work at Burger King? And you know what the Democrats' answer will be? Raise their salary. Okay, and then we raise the prices of everything that's on the menu. And then no one can afford to eat at Burger King. So they lay people off. Do you not understand how the chain works? Are you that absolutely blind to obvious facts? Target just released a statement saying to get our goods here has increased like $1 billion. And they said, we know we can't pass this on to the consumer. They're just not going to buy from us. So we've actually been taking a little bit of a pounding in the profits. But we can't do it for much longer. So guess what they'll do? They'll either get in less goods or they'll start laying people off. Because they've said themselves, yes, we did eat some of the cost of this, but we can't keep doing it, though. We can't keep – we're making 75 cents on an item. We can't make 40 cents and continue to pay the salaries we're paying. That's how business works. You set a percentage and you say, look, here's the percentage we can charge over our cost. This has to cover the price of our employees. This has to cover our overhead, our lights, our heat, our everything else, our insurance, everything you can think of. It has to cover within that small profit margin. And if that profit margin drops by even 5 or 10%, it's hurtful. And at some point, they're going to say, I'm sorry, but we just can't pay this anymore. Then you know what some companies do? They find the guys with the highest and women with the highest salaries there. Not necessarily the managers, but the employees that's been there 8-10 years. And you're like, oh, what are you making now? Sneaking up on $18 an hour? Yeah, you got to go. We can get some kid to do your job for you know, $4 less. That's what happens, folks. That's living in the real world. Not the imaginary world where I heard a woman before Congress just yesterday say, and I quote, yes, I do believe men can have babies and abortions. Yes, I do believe that. Now, let's break that down. Even if you take the left, the far left coup's interpretation and say, well, if a woman is really transitions into a man, but she still has her working female parts, but she identifies as a man, and she gets pregnant, then technically a man can be pregnant, even if I give you that. Even if I give you that, which I don't, but let's say I do give you that. How are you going to have an abortion? If you identify as a man, why are you having vaginal sex? And if you're a man who identifies as a woman, you don't have one. At least not a functioning one. So you couldn't possibly have an abortion. Bad enough, you're saying, they can get pregnant. You couldn't possibly have an abortion. This is the world we live in. This is the current world we live in. People are growing tired of it, though. Little by little, people are growing tired of it. But this is the world we live in. So now the price of groceries, sky high. The price of gas, sky high. The price of rent and property taxes, sky high. Your 401ks are tanking. Your stock market investments are crashing. You can't even find baby formula for your kid. And by the way, did you hear the Biden administration's lame-ass excuse, and Biden himself, by the way, for this shortage? They said, well, the factory that makes 42% of it had to close down due to a contamination issue. That is true. There's no lie there. That is the truth. And then he said, and of course, we have to make sure it's the purest and best formula that can come out of there. We can't just settle for contaminated formula. Of course you can't. That's true, too. Now answer me this question. If you knew that 42% of the United States baby formula came out of a factory that you closed down due to contamination, why didn't you make some kind of an arrangement right then and there saying we foresee a shortage? Biden himself said, well, I'm not psychic. How did I see a shortage coming? Jesus, I don't know. You've closed down the factory that made 42%, Joe. Did you think everything was going to be perfect? Did you think things were just going to run just as well as normal when the factory that makes 42% of the baby formula has closed down? Are you that stupid? All you had to do was say, this is going to be a problem. And by the way, in December, you got letters from people saying this is going to be a problem. 42% of the baby formula is made from this factory, and they're closed for the foreseeable future. And you know what you did? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then you got talking heads on The View saying, why don't they just breastfeed? I don't know. Can Pete Buttigieg breastfeed? Is that what he's going to do with his partner and the baby they have? They're going to breastfeed him? I guess men can breastfeed, right? So I guess Buttigieg is all set. By the way, on the border, there's no shortage. Somehow you did envision that. Somehow you were able to say, you know, with the factory closing down and 42% of baby formula made at this factory, there's going to be a terrible shortage on the border. I guess we better hoard all that. And then lie about it and say, no, we never did that, until one brave person took a picture of it and said, look at all of it. You literally robbed the mouths of American children to feed people who are coming into the country illegally. Now, I'm not a hard-assed person. I don't want any babies not eating. That would be a horrible situation. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're illegals. I don't care if they're Americans. I don't care if they're Russians. I don't care if they're Ukrainians, Chinese, you name it. I don't want babies suffer. Close the border. I told you we're not going to have enough. What did I say? What analogy did I make? I said if you only have enough to feed your family, you can't invite 50 people to dinner. And that's exactly what you did. And then, like a buffoon, you get out there in front of the podium and say, I don't have to be a psychic to figure out that there was going to be a baby food shortage because looking back on it, the only clues we had is the most major factory that was responsible for 42% shut down. We got letters from people saying it was going to. And we got a whole bunch of infants at the border who need food. Oh, so the demand went up. So in other words, here's what you knew. You knew the supply was going to drop almost in half in December. You knew that the supply was going to drop almost in half and that the demand was going to increase twofold thanks to the border being open, and you did nothing and then sit there and say, how could I foresee this coming? This is a president and an administration who refuses to take responsibility for anything. Not for the gas prices, not for the baby food shortage. Now, Joe says, well, after the baby food shortage, we'll fix this. We're going to invoke the Federal Defense Act. Well, good. Good. That might help. Here's the problem. Why don't you do that for gasoline? Huh? How come you don't do it for gas? Employ that same strategy, huh? And let the American people go back down to having 250 or 240 gas. You want the economy to boom? No, you don't want the economy to boom. What you want is to punish the people enough so they say, we can't do this anymore. Please bring on the electric cars. we can't do this anymore. We can't afford it. It's wiping out our whole savings and every penny we make. Please, 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 we'll do anything you want. Give us the electric cars. That's what you want. But to show you how big of liars and hypocrites the liberal left are, who was the biggest manufacturer of electric cars? Elon Musk. He should be your hero. Here's a man who's going to bring us into tomorrow with all of his wonderful electric cars and his vision, really. Well, then how come he's public enemy number one? How come you hate him so much? I'll tell you why you hate him, because he saw through your bullshit. He started to get a feeling something's not right long about the time he threatened to move his Tesla factory because the taxes were getting outrageous, remember? And he did move it. He said, I'll move out of California. If you nutty Democrats and liberals want to tax me this much, I can't afford it. He's a billionaire and can't afford it. I have to get out. I'm not doing it. Now, if he's not doing it, imagine Joe Schmo, who has a factory, trying to make air conditioners or whatever the hell he's making. You think he can do it? If Elon Musk can't, no. So that's when we first understood that Elon Musk was starting to open his eyes a little bit. Then Elon Musk began to realize something very important. They're trying to stifle freedom of speech. The supposed truth commission that since has went belly up. The Biden administration is no longer pushing that, I guess. All these other things, social media platforms censoring and having people fact check. I have no idea what they're talking about. And Elon Musk decided, you know what, I'm going to test the waters. I'm going to try a hostile takeover of Twitter. And, oh, he's public enemy number one now. Why? Here's a man who supports, apparently, green energy. Here's a man who said, I never voted Republican in my life. And when he said, I'm going to take over Twitter, instead of the liberals and the Democrats saying, oh, wonderful. That's wonderful. A guy who's working very hard in his factory to manufacture electric cars, and a man who's always voted Democrats going to take over Twitter. Now they went into a full rage. How dare he? He can't do this. Because they knew, folks. They knew what he was going to find. And here's another important thing they knew about Elon Musk. He may have been a Democratic supporter, but he was an honest man. And they knew he was starting to see through their bullshit. So what Elon Musk did was he played a little bit of 3D chess. And he got them to basically say, we have to take the deal. And then he started backing off of it, saying, well, some of your claims that you make seem to be untrue. You're claiming only 5% of your users are bots. I want you to prove that. And what happens? Right away, Twitter goes into a panic. Oh, what do you mean you want us to prove it? That's the truth? Prove it. Prove it. Well, Elon Musk did a little bit of digging on his own, and guess what he found out? 49%, almost half, of Joe Biden's followers are not real Twitter accounts. Let that sink in for a minute. Now, I know many of you are going to pass this off and say, well, if you're going to make a bot account in order to try to swindle people or in some way spy or whatever, of course you're going to pick celebrities. Of course, you're going to pick the president of the United States. But there's another darker possible meaning for this. You see, if a man gets 81 million votes, more than any president in history, and he doesn't have many Twitter followers, how does that look? Does that look like it could be false? So you see, when you're coordinating these things and you say, well, if he's going to get this many votes, and that would be like, a little suspicious if someone says you got 81 million votes and you got, a million Twitter followers. Well, something's wrong. Something's way wrong. Well, Elon Musk found out 49% aren't even real accounts. Now, on the other end, the minute we heard about this Elon Musk takeover, everybody scrambled at Twitter to say, oh, open up back accounts. And guess what happened? A lot of the Republicans and the conservatives started getting hundreds and thousands of extra followers. Gee, did they all just run to Twitter and say, I'm rejoining because Elon Musk, the renowned Democrat, and Green New Deal guy is buying Twitter? No, I don't think so. What I think happened is they stopped shadow banning accounts. You're going to find out that Twitter was a nest of lies connected to the liberal arm of the government in order to propagate their lies and back up their false numbers. And Elon Musk knows it. So now what Elon Musk is going to do is he's going to say, well, you lied in this contract. You said 5% were bots, and I can prove that it's way, way, way higher than that. So your shares aren't worth that much because you don't have that many users. So the price I agreed to pay for these shares is astronomical for the amount of users you really have. That's what's coming. Twitter is saying, well, we're going to hold him to the deal. He has to. He has to, according to his own contract. He has to buy it or he owes us $1 billion. Wrong. You forfeited that contract if you lied under it. If you claim that your numbers were 5% bots, and it ends up being 25%, it looks like it might be higher, then I'm sorry. You voided that contract. You lied. I could sign a contract to buy your car, and you assure me it has four wheels. If I get there and it has two, I'm in no obligation to buy your car because you lied about it. And I think this is what Musk's plan was to begin with anyway, to get in close enough to say, you're absolutely right. This is a government-run operation. They're just a propaganda arm for the left wing. They are suppressing the conservative voice. They're suppressing the Republican voice. And they are bolstering, even falsely, the amount of people who are following left-wing radicals to make it look like, oh, well, this is the new big thing. Everyone's following it. If you want to be hip and cool and in the in crowd, you have to follow these people. These are the movers and the shakers. Wrong. 90% of the people who follow them are bots, or 48% at least, 49% are bots. They're not even real accounts. Watch this very closely, folks. This is going to be something major. Because what you're going to find out is Twitter lied under oath to Congress several times. And there's going to be people whose heads are on the chopping block, and they know it. And Elon Musk put their head on that chopping block. And guess what? Musk has come out the other day and said, I'm washing my hands of the Democratic Party. They're all insane. They're all insane. From now on, the Republicans are getting my vote. That's what he said. Now, this is a billionaire. This is one of these, you know, Silicon Valley billionaire guys they're talking about, right? Well, guess what? Even they are falling off this ship. Because they clearly understand it is not going to benefit them in the long run. There are people in the chat room saying their gas is $4.50, $4.75, depending on where they're living. Yeah. Well, you know, I can find gas if I hunt here where I live for about $4.69, but most average is right around $4.89 to $4.92 and rising every day. So it's going to be $5 everywhere. The average, you know, I think the average gas now is like $4.68 or something like that. And that's, you know, all over the United States. If you take the average, it's going to be $5 in literally in no time. Literally in no time. This is all a part of their big climate agenda. Rid the planet of fossil fuels and oil. Oh, by the way, Kamala Harris has the big meeting. Kamala Harris has to be the most embarrassing vice president in the history of the United States of America, and that's saying something. I don't know if you heard the little speech she gave at her little climate summit, but it went something like this. We are striving hard to work together on the things that we need to work together to accomplish. And the only way we can accomplish the things that we need to accomplish by working together is to work together. So we will work together to make sure that the things we need to work together to accomplish gets accomplished when we work together. It's just word salad. She said nothing because she didn't know anything. You know what? You know who she was? You ever go to high school and there's always a kid who didn't do his homework? And you have to, like, give your little speech about the book you read or whatever chapter you studied, and they didn't. So they just get up and try to bluff their way through it, you know, and they're saying, My report is on the Emancipation Proclamation, and it was a proclamation that people made because they wanted emancipation. So they got together to make an Emancipation Proclamation because the people wanted emancipation. Thank you. That's the person. That's Kamala Harris. Didn't read anything, knows nothing, and just, lip service. That's all you're getting from her. No one is trying less than Kamala Harris, believe me. I thought Joe Biden was bad as vice president. Kamala Harris is worse than Joe Biden was as vice president. And that's saying something. Now on to a little bit of the good news. And then we're going to get to this Buffalo shooter because this is some real deal. The good news is the primary season's here, and we are clearly seeing who the leader of the Republican Party is, and that is Donald J. Trump. His endorsements are literally like 85-2, meaning everybody he's endorsed out of 87 people, 85 has won. Madison Cawthorn did not win after some really ridiculous hokey stuff came out about him that was just enough to barely get him his seat relinquished. But virtually everyone else won that Trump supported. So for the Republican wing of Trump haters saying Trump doesn't have any power over the party, you're insane. You're absolutely insane. Now, there's a runoff in PA between Dr. Oz and McCormick. Too close to call right now. But really, yes, Trump endorsed Oz. But even if McCormick wins, it's hardly a loss for Trump because McCormick had said from the very beginning, well, I'm a Trump Republican. So if McCormick's a Trump Republican, just because Trump didn't endorse him, that doesn't mean you won. That doesn't mean Donald Trump doesn't have any power in the Republican Party. He's 85-2. Record turnouts for Republicans in these primaries, record turnouts. Meanwhile, the Democratic turnout, lukewarm at best. Lukewarm at best. Nobody's motivated to vote for the Democrats. Oh, there's going to be these stubborn liberals who say, I'd never vote for Republican, I don't care. So they'll just stay home, though, because they're not going to vote for the other person either because they're fed up paying $5 for gas. They're fed up not being able to find baby formula. They're fed up that their kid's coming home from school, leaving in a New York Yankees baseball cap and coming home in a dress. They're fed up with it. And I don't blame them. I'd be fed up with it, too. Enough is enough. When it starts to hurt, the first thing these never-Trumpers are going to say is, it's not Joe's fault. But then after a while, they're going to say, how come he ain't fixing it? Just because something isn't your fault, which it actually is, all of this is Joe Biden's fault. I'm telling you right now. There's not a single argument, or at least a cognitive argument, that can be made that this is not Joe Biden's fault. This is all Joe Biden's fault and his administration. But even if your theory is, no, it's not, well, let's say you run across a problem at a job you have, and it was the last person's fault. Are you going to fix it? When your new boss comes in and says, hey, you're the head of this department, how come this is happening? It's the other guy's fault. Yeah, but he's not here. And he hasn't been in here in a year. I know, but I didn't do this. Oh, it doesn't matter if you did it. Fix it. That's what you're here for, to fix it. Yeah, but I can't because it's the other guy's fault. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Fix it. Joe Biden's not fixing it. He's making it worse. He's amplifying it. What do you think would happen if you got hired to replace a guy and you made the situation that you say he caused 100 times worse? Do you think you'd be fired? Do you think you'd be replaced? I think it's pretty damn obvious. So when you have this, all they can turn to now, folks, is lies. They can't tell you the truth. If they told you the truth, they'd have to come out and say, I don't know why you ever voted for us. We're a disaster. We have no idea what we're doing. We're lazy as we possibly can be. Most of us are misinformed, and the only reason we have our job is we check the amount of boxes that was needed to get the job. We don't have any experience. We don't have any vision. We have nothing. Then they'd be done. So they can't say that. So they're going to lie to you. And they're going to try everything they can to make you think you have to keep voting for us. So the first thing they're doing is saying the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, if they do it, will be the end of abortion in America. Not true. You all know it's not true. I don't have to tell you. Everyone listening to this show should have enough brain cells connected to understand that doesn't mean anything of the kind. It means you're giving the power back to the states. In some states, you might have more liberal actual laws regarding abortion. So in some states, it could actually improve. And in some states, it'll be stricter. But at the end of the day, it'll be the people who vote for the people who make those laws, not unelected judges, which is fair. Let the people decide, right? Isn't that what the Democrats always say? Let the people decide. Okay, let the people decide then. If Texas says we don't want abortion and that's it, and the majority of their people have decided they don't, then you don't. That's called let the people decide. If California says at 2 years old you can return your kid and we'll shoot him in the head, well, then I guess what the hell? If you want to live in California, go for it. It's outrageous that they're lying about what this abortion, the Roe versus Wade overturning could mean. It's outrageous. Just like they said the DeSantis bill was a don't say gay bill when it had nothing in it about gay. So now they're going to lie to you about the Buffalo shooter. So let me tell you the truth about this guy. This is a moron and a psychopath that literally, when asked in a question, and I believe it was his high school test, what are you going to do when you graduate, says, I'm going to go on a murder spree and then shoot myself, commit a murder-suicide. That's what he said. And when he's brought in to talk to the counselors about it, he said, joke. Then goes all over his social media and says, it wasn't a joke. I bluffed them out. That's exactly what I plan on doing. And nobody says a word. Nobody says, look, this kid, there's something wrong with this kid. Absolutely going to act out. If somebody doesn't do something, this is a kid who they said went to school in a hazmat outfit for weeks. So I want people to understand something very clearly. You're going to be told he was a Republican Trump supporter. It's not true. It's not true at all. He is a self-described, moderately left, what did he call himself? A moderately left, disciplinarian left, whatever. He's basically a communist. Basically a communist. He never one time mentioned Donald Trump, never one time mentioned the right. He mentioned the left. Said he was moderately left. They won't mention that, though. But here's what you're going to find out. Because the poor people in Buffalo all happen to be African-American, this is a white supremacist, ultra-mega Trump supporter. That's not true. I don't know if he's a white supremacist. He's not an ultra-mega Trump supporter. And I'll tell you this right now. You're getting Al Sharpton flying down there. You're getting Joe Biden flying down there with 10 poor, innocent people murdered, slaughtered like animals, which was horrible. Did this happen when a Muslim guy shot 10 or 15 people, killed them all? Did Joe Biden fly down there? Did they say, this is what happens when radical Muslims become radicalized? That's why we can't allow these Muslims in the country to have the radicalization. That didn't happen. You didn't hear it? You know what you heard? Well, you can't judge one crazy radical Muslim. You can't make, you know, that about Muslims. Oh, but we can with Republicans, even though he's not a Republican. a self-described liberal and you a self-described leftist, and you say he's a Republican and he speaks for all Republicans. I mean, it doesn't pass the laugh test. What happened when the shooter, who luckily didn't kill anybody, no thanks to himself, opened fire on a ball field filled with a Republican congressman? And he just happened to be a Bernie Sanders supporter and a volunteer for his campaign. And ask somebody, oh, excuse me, man, are those Republicans or Democrats on the ball field? Those are the Republicans on the ball field currently. Thank you. Goes into his trunk, takes his gun, starts opening fire. Did we hear, well, the radical left has gone too far. They're causing such hatred and division in this country that a man actually took a gun and opened up on a ball field filled with Republicans. No, we didn't hear that. You know what we heard? He's nuts. What are you going to do about a nut? So big deal. He was a Bernie Sanders volunteer. Big deal. He was a liberal. That doesn't mean anything. He's obviously psychopathic. You can't go by what a psychopath says. Oh. Gotcha. So he's not going to be given the same treatment. This is going to be given the, this is what happens when you follow ultra-mega stuff. That's not true. That's not even close to true. Kid was a walking time bomb. He didn't even know what he was. And if you read the stuff that he wrote, he's a communist. And a self-described leftist. But no, he's got to be a Republican. It's just hilarious. So when you hear that, you're being lied to. Absolutely lied to. Now here's a harsh reality that nobody wants to hear. This country is going downhill fast, and it's really mainly due to one thing. And that is when this country and its founding fathers said, we welcome people from all countries, give us your poor and downtrodden. We meant it. But the idea was, let's say the United States is like one big country club, right? And we say, everyone is welcome as a member. Everyone. Male, female, gay, straight, trans, black, white, Chinese, everybody. There's no exclusions. We are a club that welcomes everyone. That's a good thing. But if you get in and say, now that I'm in, I'm forming my own club, and it's only going to be for a certain group. That's not being inclusionary. That's not melding into the melting pot of America. That's building your own country within our own. And that is not what we said you could do. So when you see these radical Muslims, these other people who are saying, look, we're going to literally have entire neighborhoods where it's just us, just our laws, just our whatever. No, that's not the way the United States works. You don't get your own laws. You don't get your own little piece of the United States to say, I'll do with it what I want. You're supposed to melt in with everybody else. Think pot, remember? Now, of course, people are going to be tribal. I'm not talking about Chinatown. I understand. I'm not talking about places where there's heavy populations of Latinos or black or Chinese or white Caucasians or Irish or Italian. I'm not talking about that because everyone's welcome there. I'm talking about places where you say we don't even write in English. Every sign you see is in our own language. We go by our own set of rules and our own sets of laws? No, you don't. That's not what we promised when we said you could come to this country. You don't get to create your own little country in ours. You get to be a part of this one. We've let it go too far now, folks. And now you have people, college-educated people, who are saying, well, I don't see anything wrong with me wearing a giant hat that says Donald Trump is a Nazi to work at Starbucks. Well, no, there's a big problem with that. You don't get to freedom of expression at your place of work. And you know why you don't? The reason you don't is because that particular company isn't paying you to stand on your soapbox and preach to customers. They're paying you to hand out the latte. Well, it's my freedom of expression. No, it's not. Who said that? Where do you get that from? We have bent over backwards to accommodate the dumb. We have bent over backwards to accommodate the ridiculous until we are now in a situation where an extremely well-educated woman can look dead in the camera and say, yes, a man can have an abortion. That's where we're at in this country, because we've tried to be too appeasing. We've tried for so long to get out of everybody's way and just say, do what you want. Do what you want. Remember when Bill Clinton once said, abortion should be legal, but rare. We've gone from it should be legal, but rare, to a woman wearing a T-shirt that says, I've had 14 abortions because I'm better than you. It's my right, and I use my right, and I'm proud I've used my right. And she thinks she's honorable. That's where we're at in this country. We have people who say, it depends on what side of the bed I wake up on, whether I'm a woman today or a man, and you better understand what my pronouns are on that particular day, or I will have you fired for sexual discretion. There's a kid who is literally sent home from school because he called a student by the wrong pronoun. And you know what they called it? Sexual harassment. This could go on this kid's record for life. And all he did was say, hey, I don't know what he exactly said. I guess he called him a man and it was a woman or something, or a woman that was a man, whatever. So he said him instead of her. It's sexual harassment. It's going to go on his record for life. So now when he tries to get a job, they say, well, you know, in school you had suspensions for sexual harassment. I don't know if I want anybody to work at my place who's had violations for sexual harassment. And then you've got to try to explain to him, well, this guy Joe, who was pansexual, it was Thursday, and he was a woman on Thursday, and I said it was a him, and he reported me. Now, if I said it on Friday, all would have been good because on Friday he was a man. But then back to Saturday, and he was a woman again, so you got to be careful. You got to ask him first. And I didn't ask him first. Does that sound logical to you? How am I supposed to keep track of that? Why is it my obligation to keep track of that? Why is it that kid's obligation to keep track of that? It's not. It's obviously not. But we've bent over backwards as a country to appease people so much, they've taken so much advantage, that now we are stuck in a situation where they say, well, if you let this person do this, how come I can't do that? And it just becomes a big snowball that has rolled downhill to the point that it's crushing the United States of America under its girth. And we got to get out from underneath it. And there's no time like the present, folks. These midterm elections are crucial. I can't tell you how crucial. If the Republicans do, and I don't trust all Republicans, I've told you that before. There's some Republicans I wouldn't piss on if they were on fire. But I will tell you this, I'll vote for them over Democrat, and I'll tell you why I will. Because some of them may be liars and connivers and backstabbers and everything else, but they're not totally insane. And when you have someone sitting before Congress saying men can have abortions too, but men shouldn't actually comment on abortion, because it's a woman's issue, but a man can have an abortion, but he shouldn't comment on abortion because it's a woman's issue. That's an insane human being. They painted themselves in a corner, and they don't know how to get out of it linguistically. Ma'am, can a man have an abortion? Yes. Yes, I believe he can. Okay, should men stay out of the abortion issue? Yes, I believe they should. But you just said a man can have an abortion. They can. Well, then why should he stay out of the issue? Because he's a man. But a man can have an abortion, yes. You see, it doesn't work. You can't get out of that corner. You've painted yourself in a corner. You can't get out of it. And now we're in this situation. So if we do not vote Republican, and in some cases hold your nose, man, but, you know, some cases hold your nose. But if we do not send a message to the Democrats that you've lost your minds and they don't suffer a literal catastrophe of a defeat in November, country's gone. It's gone. And you better start making plans. Because you're going to see $10 a gallon gasoline. You're going to be seeing your children taught sexual education in kindergarten, which is going to mean some strange man is going to sit down and say, here's where you touch yourself. You think I'm exaggerating? We just had a case of that. That's called child molestation. Okay, you didn't touch the child, but you showed them. Oh. Yeah, because that's a normal thing that a teacher does. We're going to have CRT, parents being told, shut up, your children are not your own. When they're in our possession, we'll do with them what we want. You're going to see food shortages. You're going to see rent increases. You're going to see a flood of immigration like you've never seen before in your lifetime. And those are the least of it. You're probably going to see war. You're basically going to see the destruction of the country. So for all of you people out there saying, if I get around to it that day, I'll vote. Okay, well, then I don't want to hear it. Because that's the only voice you have, and that's the only voice that makes a difference. And if you're too busy, I got to stop and get a sandwich and a Starbucks. You're not too busy for that. But you're too busy to go into that voting booth and vote Republican, then you deserve what you get. And I don't want to hear any complaints. Just like I don't want to hear any. I thought freedom of expression, by the way, to all you people who are saying to me, oh, you're allowed to do what you want and express yourself. Really? How come I can't put a sticker on a gas pump? How come? And before you say, because you don't own the gas pump. No. Owners of gas station said, put that on there. And was told, no, you can't do that. Take it all. So don't give me that. You see, the liberals function by one thing. We can do it, you can't. Please point to me a game that you couldn't win if those are the rules. If I'm playing Monopoly and I say, I don't have to pay you when I land on you, then I guess I'm going to win. And if you say, well, then I don't have to pay when you land on me. Cheater! You're cheating! Well, then you can win any game. If you set the rules, then you can win any game. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be talented. You just have to somehow figure out a way that you get to set the rules. And that's what the Democrats have done. They figured out a way to set the rules. Now, here's a story nobody's going to tell you. Hillary Clinton's lawyer is on trial. We're seeing Johnny Depp worried about Amber Heard taking a shit in his bed, and they'll play that 24 freaking hours a day. But they won't play what's happening with Hillary Clinton's lawyer, where he basically admitted that the Hillary Clinton campaign paid for him to get false information on Donald Trump to blackmail or have him removed if he did win from office. The biggest political scandal in the history of the United States of America, and you're too busy wondering what some dumb blonde did to Johnny Depp. That's what your media is doing for you. You better take a good hard look at this trial. The FBI's coming out looking like a left-wing propaganda machine. They knew it. They lied. Clinton's campaign knew it. They lied. There should be people going to prison, state prison. Will there be? Maybe this lawyer is going to get thrown under the bus. But you know what Hillary Clinton's going to say? I didn't know anything about it. I'm just a silly woman. I didn't know what was happening. She's the most evil, monstrous human being you can imagine on the face of the earth. She would shoot her own daughter in the forehead if she thought she could be the president of the United States. A power mad, crazy lunatic. Who oversaw the biggest scandal, way bigger than Watergate. Put Watergate aside. Way bigger than Watergate. And what are the media saying about it? We're not even covering this trial. It's not really happening. Go watch Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. That's so much more compelling and so much more relevant to your life. Don't fall for it, folks. Don't fall for this. Demand information on this trial. The Durham investigation has blown the doors off this. And there are a number of people, CNN analysts right along with them, who should be going to jail, prison, for their part in perpetrating. Remember when Adam Schiff said, I have proof positive. I have been shown proof positive that Donald Trump has ties to Russia. He's a pawn of Vladimir Putin. And I can't reveal it right now, but I have seen it, and it's devastating. Yeah. And then he said that for months and months and months and tried to impeach him on it. And then when finally they said, okay, this is the moment. Show the proof. I don't have it. Yeah, because you never had it. Because you and Hillary Clinton and her campaign and her lawyer decided to embark on this little venture of getting propaganda in an attempt to sway an election. And it didn't work. So then you said we can get him impeached with the same nonsense that you knew wasn't true to begin with. This man suffered two impeachments that should be withdrawn, both of them. Both of them. Extradited from the books. They won't be. They won't be. And by the way, did you see Joe Biden very cleverly try to sneak in the thing that happened in Buffalo, very similar to January 6th? What do you mean very similar to January 6th? So you're saying that the thing that happened in Buffalo was a white supremacist killing black people because he's a white supremacist, and that's very similar to what happened on January 6th. You see how he snuck that in there? One has nothing to do with the other. There was nobody killed in January 6th except one of the people who actually entered the building. And she was an unarmed member of our service. And she was shot by a black man. So maybe I should say the opposite. Oh, I noticed he didn't shoot a black rioter. There were some of them in there. Oh, it had to be a black woman. Maybe he's a misogynist. Maybe he's a racist. I could turn that around. See, that's how they set the rules to the game, folks. But we don't do the same when we have the chance. We should be demanding that that Capitol Police officer be fired because he's a racist and a misogynist who picked on an unarmed white woman, right? That's what they do. We won't. If you keep letting them set the rules to the game and you keep letting them be the people in power so they can set the rules to the game, don't complain when you lose the game because you're absolutely going to.